Hey everyone, this is Trent Roberts with From the Cart Path. Before we start this episode, I just want to give a big thanks to the 20 players from the 20 different schools that participated in all the preseason activities that we were able to do on the Instagram page, Twitter, and even TikTok. And even tonight with the podcast, I'm really thankful for Braden Miller, Ethan Hoagland, Mattingly Upchurch, Peyton Blackard, and Silas Haar. I just want to make sure I give them a special thanks for participating in the podcast you're about ready to listen to. These guys had a lot of fun, and we had some great times while recording this podcast. And I hope it's something we can continue to do in the future. I know I'm already in plans of how we can do the girls season and do it even better than what we did for this and continue to do the boys seasons throughout the years. And even maybe possibly doing some updates with these guys as the season goes along. And again, these guys had a great time. I love their participation. And I'm excited that you get to listen to what I believe is the first ever preseason podcast for Indiana High School Boys Golf.
Welcome, because you are now listening to From the Cart Path with your host, Trent Roberts, bringing you tips, support, and player recognition and education with the experts for parents and junior golfers in Indiana. This is From the Cart Path with your host, Trent Roberts.
Hey everyone, this is Trent Roberts with From the Cart Path. I want to welcome you to, it's a special episode, and I'm excited for this. So I'm going to get right into this with some quick introductions. We have the 2024 IHSAA state champ. He was on the 22, 23, and 24 All-State team from Fairfield High School. We have Braden Miller. We have from Gibson Southern, the 22, 23, and 2024 All-State team, Peyton Blackard, again from Gibson Southern. And then from Hamilton Southeastern, we have the 2024 All-State team member, Mattingly Upchurch. And then we have a qualifier finished in the top 25 last year, how to get there through the toughest sectional in the state, probably a little bit of a heartbreaker at sectionals on that fifth player score. And we have Ethan Hoagland from Carmel High School. And from Westview High School, the 2023 IHSAA state runner-up and 23 All-State, we have Silas. So Silas, the big question of the day is we're all trying to pronounce your last name. And I think Braden had the best one. Braden, how do you pronounce his last name?
Harar.
Mattingly, what do you think that is?
I think it's Harar. I thought it's Harar forever.
Yeah. I just thought it was, we were trying to pronounce this earlier. It's like Harar or Harar. So, yeah. Silas, how do you pronounce your last name?
It's actually pretty
easy. Even though.
It's not too hard. I just say Har, like Par.
Oh,
yeah, it's pretty easy for golf guys to memorize, I think, that way. So, yeah.
So, just Har.
Just Har.
All right. So again, we're going to go back. We have Silas Har from Westview High School. So, all right, guys.
We made that a lot more complicated than what it was.
Yeah, we made it extremely complicated. So, we wanted to have a little fun with that, Silas. So it's been a long winter, one of the coldest winters we've had in a long time. What have all of you been doing all winter to prepare for the season?
I've just been hitting on a mat inside into a screen. That's all I've been doing.
Yeah, I think it's just a good time to train like an athlete. I think sometimes people think golf is it's kind of like a sport for lazy people sometimes, but to like speed training, like explosiveness, strength, kind of increase all of that, I think it's really important too. But then it's also time to like fix swing stuff that you can't during the actual season. So I think it's actually really beneficial time for the game. So just be inside, hit as much as you can. And just kind of make a lot of improvements that way.
Yeah. For me, it's lifts, fitness, that with it. And then I go to the golf fest and hit inside on that. do up there in the winter. Do a little putting practice and just work on the swing.
Yeah, I do a lot of just in the gym work and just try and get as strong for the upcoming summer and spring as I can. And then a lot of work on just putting stroke inside and, again, hit inside a lot. And we get some decent weather down here in December and January, so I can go out to our course and play some. But just a lot of working on the fundamentals and making sure those are still in check for the spring when we can get back outside.
Yeah, for sure. I tried to hit it hard with our strength coach at our school. So I've worked pretty hard in the weight room. And also, you know, we've got some warm days here in the last month or so. So I've tried to hit, you know, see some ball flight. So I've tried to, you know, refine the swing and still keep the, you know, the feels around the greens and putting and chipping and try to keep the game in shape for the spring.
Any major changes or small changes any of you have made over the winter?
Go ahead, Mattingly.
Yeah, I went from hitting a big cut to probably hitting a little tight drift.
I've heard about that from Randy quite a bit.
Yeah.
What about you, Braden?
So I've been working on my swing a lot the past few months. Instead of, like, I used to be way across the top a little bit at the top of my backswing. So I've just been working on getting that flatter at the top and getting more depth while I'm at it and gain some distance and gain some speed.
Yeah, I've gained a little speed too. It's just kind of trying to get the on-course speed more than swinging as hard as I can and over swinging like I used to. It's just kind of trying to stay more in balance and hit more of a controlled shot off the tee for sure.
Yeah, for me, getting speed as well, but I had to shorten up. I got really, like, I got way. Well, I got into it. It hard for me to play it consistently. So for me, it's been that swing, speed up. Other than that, fun pretty good.
Go ahead, Silas. All
right. Yeah. I just have some stuff that's been like I have not been able to address. Just kind of rotating the hips more, and that's kind of causing. Better club face, better, like, not flipping it, I guess. Just making the whole body work together. So you're just more consistent, more accurate, and that's really helpful.
You guys ready to get back out there on the course and stop being inside?
Oh, yeah.
It gets old, doesn't it? I mean, that's, to me, it's one of the worst things is during the winter. It's like, first couple of weeks, it's fine. And then you're like, all right, this sucks hitting into a wall all winter long. And like you said, Mattingly, seeing that ball flight is so much more important than just seeing the ball flight on a screen that tells you what it think it's going to be doing.
For sure.
I'm sure the screen's kind of accurate, but not always the best. Ethan, are you coming back better?
Yeah. I don't know if this is better or not, but
that is a lot better. Guys, would you agree?
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Perfect. So with the winter coming to a close, you're getting ready to get out there with the team. How do your teams look this year? What do you guys think of your own team? Not everybody else, but just your team.
Mattingly. You know, we're not going to be as good as we were the last 2 years for sure. We've gotten, I'm going to say, I mean, I don't want to really say worse, but kind of we've progressively gotten worse. We're a little bit of a weaker team on the back end. We're not as deep as we used to be. But we got to figure out, who our five's going to be. Cause that's a big gap in our lineup right now. So we got to figure that out, but we're definitely going to be a lot weaker. So we're going to have to be a lot more nitty and gritty this year and try to win as much as we can.
All right, Ethan.
Yeah. For us, we lost 2-3 guys. And then we got, I'd say, two or three again that are going to be top three consistently. And then we got a bunch of guys that are in the same range for, I'd say, around three, four spots. So we're going to have to figure that out throughout the season and just play it by ear.
Silas, real quick. Silas, obviously, we're going to continue this, but your team's going to, the score should drop, right, with you coming back?
Yeah, I am. I'm really excited. I think it's gonna be a great year. Definitely looking forward to it. It'll be fun playing my brother. He's a really solid player. Just having that team environment, I think it's gonna be great. Coach Jeff put a lot of hard work into making a simulator last winter. It's really cool to see that pay off and see a lot of the guys be able to use that when they don't have their own facilities too. So I think the 1 and 2 are really solid, and I think 3 and 4 could be really solid too. You know, golf is golf, and it depends on the day. Fifth spot, we'll see what happens. There'll definitely be some qualifying, but I think it's definitely going to be a goal to see if all 5 guys can go to state. I think that'd be really cool.
Brayden, sorry we interrupted you.
No, you're good. So we lost our 2 last year, so we're going to need someone to step in and fill that spot. It's a pretty big role that someone's going to have to take. But I'm just looking to have a lot of fun this year. It's my senior year, one last ride. So hopefully we can compete with Westview a little bit at sectionals, but it should be fun.
Yeah, we lost our 2 and our 4 from last year, but we return a lot of we have a lot of natural athletes that play golf for us. So it's kind of a lot of them don't play during the later fall. They just kind of play when springtime comes more. So we're not early in the season. We're not always off to a hot start, but as we go farther into year, I feel like we kind of pick up some momentum as everybody starts playing more and kind of getting back to the fields. But we have a lot of kids this year. So our 4 and 5 spot are going to be some severe pressure for those kids in the player in the qualifying. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But it should be a fun year. We should have another decent team. So I'm looking forward to it.
What teams do you think in your area or across the state do you see it with an improvement for this year over last year?
For me, we got a bunch of good teams around us, but for me, it's just Westfield because they didn't lose really anybody in their top 5 that I know of. And then, yeah, they looked good majority of the year last year. Got close during sectionals against us, but still not losing anybody. I think they're a team to beat.
Yeah, I think Westfield, it's honestly just going to steamroll everybody this year. They're so good. They didn't lose anybody, obviously, and they were a tough team to beat last year, let alone got to be this year. I think Zionsville is going to look good too with bringing in Mac. You know, he's a young player, but I think they're gonna be good, especially later in the year when everyone starts to get a little sharper, playing a little better. But yeah, I think those two teams will be definitely the talk of the table at state finals.
I think Brayden both had Homestead winning state this year.
Homestead's a team to watch out.
Yeah, they're going to be insane, I think. They have a very complete team. Brayden might have to help me out. They got transfer. I think that's really solid.
But yeah, hold north,
1 through 4 spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, any of those guys I think could go under par. And they're just really solid. So that'd be a fun team to watch in our regionals and just how they perform at state too. They're going to be really solid.
I think you really got to watch out for Westview. I mean, they've got to make state, right, Silas? You guys got to make it.
That's the goal.
You guys got to make it.
Team is willing to work hard, I hope. So we'll be pushing for that goal all year.
But yeah, I mean, I think, like Silas mentioned, Homestead's going to be a team to watch out for. I feel like they're going to make a run. Northridge up by us is always pretty solid. Another team up by us is Northwood. They have a couple transfers that just came in, so I think they'll be solid. They'll have a decent shot at making out of regionals.
Yeah, I think like everybody said, Westfield and Homestead for sure are going to be the top 2 this year. They're going to be duking it out at state, but Castle down here by Gibson Southern they got a transfer in who's pretty good, and they kept 4 of their 5 from last year. So I think they may be a little bit of a sleeper team right now, but I think they got a chance to kind of do something at state if all goes well for them.
Speaking of regionals, now Alex Holder, and he did let me know he is playing next year. So what's that look like for you, Braden and Silas, your regional up there with, I mean, literally three of the best individuals in the state at your guys' regional. What's that going to be like?
It's going to be the toughest regionals that I'm going to play in. I mean, anybody, it's an 18 hole event. Anybody can play good. Anybody can play bad. So, I mean, if me or Silas have an off day, so someone can just, like, Silas's brother, he tied for medalist at regionals last year. So, I mean, anybody can just take that number one spot. And I mean, they're taking three this year, but I feel like three's not enough for all the good individuals in our regional.
Now, there's some other, there's a lot of good players too. Yeah, you never really know what's going to happen. It could be anyone's day. So it's going to be crazy to watch, for sure. I mean, it'd be nice if, you know, four or five individuals can make it out. Because it's like Brandon said, I don't know if three is enough.
Right.
It's a lot of competition.
While you guys are worried about regionals and the individuals getting through, Ethan's sitting down here going, guys, let's talk about my sectional.
Yeah.
And how my sectional should, the top four teams should get through. So, Ethan, talk to us a little bit about your sectional and just the competition there every year.
Yeah, I mean, the last two, I guess last year, but last 2 years that I've been a part of the varsity squad, we've gotten real close, but we just got so many good teams. We got Westfield, Zionsville, Garen, who've all been really good in the last couple of years, and we've just had a hard time getting out of sectional. We played good last year, shot under 300, 298, I believe, and then lost on a fifth man to Westfield. And it's just like nothing we can do, honestly. We played really good, probably the best score of the year, I think. And then, yeah, we just got a lot of good teams here. We wish it could be four teams out of there, but just not how it works, unfortunately.
Peyton, what's it like down in your area of the state? I mean, you guys are in a different time zone, so tell me about the teams down there in your sectionals and regionals and what makes it difficult down there.
Yeah, our sectional, I think we've won all the years I've been in high school. And there's a Vincennes Lincoln is probably our best competition at region or at sectionals. They're just kind of, they're playing on their home course and they're just a pretty gritty team that kind of always seems to be there every year. And then our regionals last year and the year before were stacked. We had Jasper, Evansville North, Bloomington South, and it was just, and Castle last year was kind of a sleeper team there too, so it was just kind of hard for our team to kind of compete with those teams. But seeing as Bloomington South lost Happy and Evansville North lost everybody but their top two, I think that kind of shakes things up this year for our regional. So it'll be interesting to see, and hopefully we can get that top three spot and make it as a team.
Mattingly, walk me through your sectionals and regionals and what's that going to look like this year for your guys' route to state.
You know, our sectionals and regionals is definitely not as strong as some of these other guys, for sure. You know, our sectionals, probably Noblesville is probably our best competitor. But, you know, sectionals is really a really just honestly a good, like, practice, I'd say, for state, because it's a tough, we play Harbor Trees, it's a tough golf course, it's tight, and it just gets our guys in the right mindset. But we don't really struggle to get outside. We've won sectionals the last 2 years, whatever the years I've been in high school. So, I mean, we don't struggle to get out of sectionals. And then our regionals is honestly probably easier than our sectionals is. Like, we've got Cathedral, Noblesville, Fisher sometimes makes it out. But other than that, we play at Players Club, so it's pretty wide open. And the back end of my team kind of just slaps it around. We make it out pretty easily.
With all that being said, individuals, obviously Braden and Silas, it's a little bit different up there. Who are some of the individuals in your area that you see getting out?
Out of sectionals or regionals?
Regionals.
Regionals? Oh, boy. So, I mean, there's a lot of options. I mean, you got Silas, you got Alex Holder, me, Caden Mathias. He was the medalist at regionals. Silas' brother, Luke, he was tied for medalist. You got Carter Dembski. He's going to be a solid player this year. There's really no standout team in our regionals besides Homestead. And I mean, there's just a lot of really good individuals. I mean, a couple kids from Wallasey, will be pretty solid. I don't think Northwood is in our regional. I mean, any player from North Ridge can have a good day and get out. I mean, it's anybody's game at Stonehenge, especially. I mean, you could be playing so good on that course and it could just like turn around on you in the flip of a switch.
Wasn't it a couple years ago when only two guys got through? It was you and Silas.
Me and Silas got out, yeah. And
you both were two under.
Yep, and Alex Holder shot one under and didn't make it out. And that's one thing that I would like to see change is like, if you shoot even or under par, you get into the state finals. Like that has to be a new rule. I mean, you got penalized for playing good golf, and that's just not fair.
Ethan, what about last year you got through?
Yeah.
And who are some of the players outside? I mean, obviously the three teams that get through your sectional are getting through your regional.
Yeah.
So outside of those teams, who are the individuals besides yourself that are getting a state this year?
There's a bunch of sneaky guys, but it really just comes down to who plays good at Coyote Crossing, because there's anything can happen there. That course is difficult if you're not hitting it well. Even if you are hitting it well, you can get penalized for hitting good shots. So, I mean, it depends on the day, I'd say, but there's a bunch of sneaky guys in that regional.
Well, Coyote Crossing's been a pretty good course for you.
It's treated me really well, yeah, but for the majority, I've not heard good things when people talk about it, but I like that course a lot.
Mattingly, what about up by you? I mean, who are the players coming out of there? I mean, what's up?
You know, we've got
who are the individuals?
I'd say probably, you know, Sam Kinnett. probably Sam Kinnett, you know. Johnny Lehman, obviously. I don't know if Cathedral will get out as a team, but, you know, Johnny Lehman definitely. And I don't know if Fishers would get out as a team, but probably, you know, I'd say if they don't, Tommy Klinker is he's a sneaky player. He'll play well and he could win, you know, and you wouldn't know, but he's a good player. I mean, again, Noblesville make it out as a team. They have all good. I mean, they have a pretty good lineup. But then it's just a bunch of like, I don't know off my head, but there's a bunch of smaller schools that play in our regional that they have some like decent players that, you know, they play halfway decent at Players Club. They shoot 74, 75. So we have a couple players that usually play like halfway decent and end up making it out. So I'd say the locks for our regional, definitely if they don't make it out as a team, is Sam Kinnett, Johnny Lehman, and Tommy Klinker.
Peyton, what about down south?
I would say Evansville North, they're top two. And then Caleb Schnarr from Jasper. And then, I don't know, it just depends on the teams that end up getting out, because teams like, if we wouldn't get out, then there would be four of us that are really solid players that would be vying for the three spots on a course that anybody can shoot a good number on in Country Oaks, because it's just wide open and blast it anywhere and be fine. So it's kind of interesting to see what scores happen there. And, you know, there have been years where 75's gotten out, and there's been years when 72 even par doesn't get out. So it's kind of interesting every year to see what happens.
Before we get to the state talk, what have been some of your favorite memories throughout the years with your team? It could be bus rides, anything that just, every time you think of your team, you think of these moments and it just makes you smile and makes you thankful that you played high school golf.
I'd say definitely the Sultan's Run tournament every year. It's been so much fun the last 2 years. You know, my freshman year, our bus broke down on the way there, so it was fun. You know, sitting on the side of the highway for an hour and a half.
Who was driving the bus? Was Sal driving?
It was DY. DY was driving it. It started smoking, and it was during on the highway, so we had to like evacuate. We were all sitting there with like pillows, bags, golf bags, push carts. We all just looked like idiots. That was my fun, guess, you know.
Were you chipping off the side of the highway to pass by time?
No, we couldn't. He was like, you guys better stay on the railing. Do not move. And I was like, okay. So, but no, it was a good time. Or also the South Knox tournament that we played in the first time last year that was super fun. You know, just every overnight tournament we play is pretty much, you know, pretty fun. Or the long bus rides, you know, from here to like when we go to Rock Hollow, or just the, just you know, the postseason is really where it's fun because, you know, everyone, like the JV season's ended and everyone's just, you know, focused on the varsity squad and it's just everyone gets so super close. It's pretty fun.
Yeah. For me, I mean, bus rides, obviously, those are always fun, but playoffs last 2 years ago, Austin Kent Sr. from 2 years ago won in the playoff. That was one of the best memories I've had, just watching him. Every team was out there following him, two holes. And then last year, obviously, making it all the way to state by myself, and then the other two from my team making it to the regionals. And then, yeah, it's just a good time when all the team comes together, builds off of one guy, two guys, three guys, whoever makes it out, or the whole team. But, yeah, it's always a good time, playoffs, bus rides, and then just in general, it's good being around the guys.
Yeah, I mean, my favorite memory is probably, like, honestly, it's probably every single bus ride. We got the music cranking. We got Coach singing along to Meek Mill. I mean, it's all fun. But there's no other team in the state that would have so much fun to go to an invite and shoot 370, 360 than us. I mean, we have so much fun on the bus, and no matter what the outcome is, it's all fun and games. It's just fun.
Yeah, I obviously didn't play Hassel Golf last year, but. No, the team part is just the best. Like, there's not a specific moment, but just if that's having, like, a competitive, like, 2v2 scramble at Heron Creek, or if it's, like, just celebrating with some JV kid for, like, getting into, like, PR. I think just being with the guys is a lot of fun. And if that's, like, leading them or just having fun, I think those are the best memories. That's what I'm going to miss whenever I'm, like, 70 years old.
Yeah, for us, it's like Matt said, the South Knox tournament last year, that was a lot of fun, kind of getting experience at 36 holes with your team. And it's a lot of, we had an alumni match a couple years ago. That was a lot of fun where all the guys that used to play kind of came out, and we had a match the day before our sectional. So that was, you know, and we had a dinner with them after, and it was just kind of all them coming out and supporting. That was real nice. And then it's just like the team games throughout the practices all year, the 4v4 with your varsity, those are fun games that, you know, teams can, some team that doesn't have maybe the best player on the team can come through and win one of the days. You know, it's just a good time with the guys out there.
I think bus rides are the most underrated thing that people don't understand how much fun those rides are. I'm still good friends with a couple of the guys from my high school team, and we had parts to songs that we would sing back in the day. So there would be songs from Red Hot Chili Peppers, and we'd have different areas where we would sing the song, and then somebody else would sing that to, like, Mr. Roboto from Styx. Like, we all had different parts to these songs, and our coach would have his own part. So it's just like when you're on these long bus rides, we didn't have the technology like you guys do today. So we didn't have phones. We didn't have anything. We had a cassette tape that we had to go play along with, so we couldn't even go back. So I get it. Those bus rides, those are the best memories. And then stopping to eat, always seems to be the coach's choice. It's never your choice. So those are some of my favorite memories from that. With a lot of things you guys have said, you said there's some players that have transferred into the state. I know of Holden going to Homestead. I know a couple of you mentioned a couple other players. Who are they and where did they come from?
Oh, the Everingham Twins from Wallasee. They're pretty solid players. You know who I'm talking about, Silas, right?
Yeah, I know who you mean.
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty solid players. They're from Wallasee. They're going to Northwood, and Northwood was a solid team last year, and I think they have everybody returning. I mean, they tied us in a nine-hole match. We both shot 154, and we lost on a tiebreaker. But I think they have everybody returning, and then plus getting the Everingham Twins, who played 1 and 2 at Wallasee. I think they're going to be pretty solid.
Hey, you mentioned some people down south.
Yeah, we had Castle. They had a kid move in from one of our Evansville schools, Evansville Harrison, who's, I think he's a sophomore this year. He's pretty long hitter, pretty accurate in general. I mean, he's played some junior tournaments throughout the state. You know, he's going to help them a lot at the probably 2 or 3 spot with a score that they didn't have last year there. So it just adds another level to their team and just kind of makes them what they are, I think.
You know, I was going to ask who's the top freshman coming in. I think it's pretty obvious, especially up north and in the area with Mac. What do you think, Ethan, does that do for Zionsville having Mac on their team with some of their graduates?
Yeah, it helps him a lot, obviously. He's a really, really good player. But they lost, I don't know how many guys, maybe three guys last year, if I'm not mistaken. But they lost a bunch of guys, but getting him definitely helps. I'm sure they got a bunch of other guys down there on the roster that didn't play last year that are going to step up and play. But obviously he helps. He's a very, very good player, and it'll be good to see what happens.
Now, one of my favorite things to always ask is how many people come out for your teams? Because I know like at HSC, you're going to have 30-some at Carmel. It's a high amount. How many kids do you guys get to come out, and then how many end up getting cut?
For us, I'm not exactly sure, but we have a club, and we had Carmel Golf Club during the fall, and we had, I'd say, around 30-ish, 30-plus, but that's with 8th graders as well. So I'd say for tryouts, I'd guess around 25, but we got down to 14 to 16.
So yes. For us, we had 25 kids sign up, but I'm sure only like 18 or 19 will show up for tryouts because the other six or seven just thought it was funny just to sign up for golf. And I mean, it gets called a sissy sport a lot at Fairfield. So, but we'll cut down to 12 this year. We had 14 last year, but that's just, there's no need for that many players. So we're going to cut it down to 12 this year.
We had 27.
Go ahead,
27 come out this year, and we're going to keep 12.
Yeah, we had a school record high this year. We have 42. It's 42. Yeah. 42, and he said we're keeping around 18 to 20. So we're going to have a big roster this year.
Wow. I've got additional questions for afterwards for that one, Matt. Lee. I don't want Sal calling me tomorrow with the questions. That's 42 down to 18 to 20. It's still a lot because normally, what have you guys kept? About 12 to 14?
No, we usually keep, he always keeps long. He keeps quite a bit. He keeps probably 15 to 17 usually. So it's not, it's not a big change, but
yeah,
we have probably like 40 guys at our club meeting.
And you don't even have a home course.
Not as now. It's usually Hawthorne's, but not right now.
Yeah, that's the one thing is the girls have a home course at HSC, but they've not had a home course outside of everyone goes to Hawthorne's for the last two or three years. So it's been kind of interesting. So, Silas, did you say how many you guys have coming out?
We have like 14 or 15. We're going to keep all of them, I think. Most of them are freshmen, which is like half of them. So it'll be cool to see how they play in the next few years. Not a lot of upperclassmen, but I think it'll be a lot of fun.
So favorite invitationals. I think a couple of you've already answered yours, but what are some of your favorite tournaments before the state tournament begins?
My favorite invitational is definitely the Angola invite where Westfield and Garen come up and just absolutely smack us. They lap the field by 30, 40 shots. So, it's always between those two, but it's always fun competing for third, fourth, fifth. It's fun time.
What time do tee time start at that one? Just move them up 4 hours at 8 o'clock. And then,
I think last year I teed off at like 2. We played with Westfield and Garen.
Yeah, I'd say my favorite one, at least one of my favorites, is actually our first of the year. It's a Danville invite. We never have usually any competition, so it's just like a good warm up to the season. We usually just steamroll everybody. We've won it the last, I think, 8 or 9 years or something like that. So it's fun to just go in there. It's an easy golf course, and we just, it's a good warm up for the season.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the indie schools are like, but the only time we play 18 hole matches are like the weekend invites. And I would agree with Braden, the Angola invite at Glendaren is by far the best. That's probably the best course, best competition we'll have until state, honestly. They're even better than regionals. I have no idea. But it's just kind of cool to see some of the guys on the team kind of compare themselves to those big schools like Darren and Westfield, and it's kind of, it's just fun to watch scores come in. I think it's really cool. It's almost like our own mini state preview. There's definitely not like all the teams there, but individuals, like Rain said, it's cool to see all those scores.
Yeah. For me, it's definitely, we don't travel much, like far, but state preview is always a good one. And then I like playing Highland when we go down there. And then playing Battleground, I think is where we take both our varsity and JV to Battleground, I believe, where we have the last couple of years. And it's always fun competing both of our two teams at the same spot. But yeah.
Yeah, I'd say my favorite's probably this South Knox Invitational. It's 36 holes. And then a close second would be the Bud Bennett at Old Capitol. Just two good tournaments with pretty good competition that can have some family come and watch throughout the year. And, you know, it's just good to have family come out. So
now that South Knox Invitational, so it's 36 holes?
Yeah.
That's a long day. Yeah. How many hours per 18 does it take you guys?
It was at least four this year. Yeah,
I think
it's like four or five.
Yeah. We have a couple teams that aren't the strongest, but
can't be
I think
worse.
It was an 8 a.m. shotgun, and then
is that what it was? It was early. We started early, and then we got like a 5-minute break, and then we teed off again. And then obviously for us, we had like a 3.5-hour bus ride home. So that was the painful part.
Did you guys stay the night before or go up in the morning?
Yeah, we were supposed to play a practice round, but we left late Friday. We left right after school on Friday, got down there like 6-ish, maybe 5-ish, right before dinner with Adam. So we had a dinner with Adam Shank right before, like every team was supposed to be there. It was like a dinner with Adam. We'd like ask some questions and stuff. So it was a cool experience. But yeah, we went down there early. Didn't get a chance to play much or honestly warm up much, to be honest. But it was a cool experience.
All right, well, let's get to state. Who's going to win it?
To the team?
Yeah.
I have my money on Homestead. I just don't see anybody beating Homestead.
Westfield for sure. No doubt.
I agree with Mattingly. I don't know enough about Homestead, but it'll be good to watch. Both those two teams, really solid, but my pick would be Westfield.
Yeah, I think one of those two teams definitely have the best options. We'll see what actually happens when it comes down to state. Because
Silas, are you going to run for office someday?
What do you say?
Are you going to run for office someday?
I kind of doubt it. I don't know. It'll be fun to watch. There could be some really good teams. I'm just looking at Center Grove. I don't think they're graduating anyone either, so they could be a sneaky team. But Zionsville could also be great. Hamilton Southeastern. We'll see what happens. I mean, you never know what's going to happen when nerves are pumping, and it's big time. So
did you guys know that Mattingly goes to Prairie View every night to do push-ups on the 18th green to get prepared for state next year? just kidding. Peyton, go ahead.
I would say Westfield's definitely my pick, but I think Homestead will kind of push him till the end. But I think Westfield will pull away the final couple holes.
You know, reading on everything, I think it's obviously every year Westfield seems to be the team of discussion, and it always seems to be someone that sneaks in and puts the disappointment up there in Westfield. And I hope to see Josh pull it through one of these years, because I do really respect him as a coach, and I hope to see him pull it off, because I do believe Westfield, he's built a program there, and I think both the girls team and the boys team really do well because of what they've built over there. They got a great community and they get along well. So we got the team title out of the way. Now with the individual title, you all can say who you think. However, Braden.
Yeah.
Who do you think?
Holder. I think it's Alex Holder.
Realistically, I'd say Braden's gonna play. He's gonna, it's, I mean, I feel
I
like
make it out of regionals first.
Alex's a good player. Don't agree. Alex's a good player, but I think Braden's experience is what's gonna put him through the threshold, and I personally think he's gonna win again this year.
Yeah, I agree. I got Braden again,
but you know, we'll see.
Yeah, I could see 10 different guys. I have no idea. I think Braden and Alex are probably the favorites. Peyton, I think you could easily win. I have no idea. I'll be just flat out honest. It could be like anyone's day.
So, Alex, you got to put yourself in there too. You were runner up your freshman, was it your sophomore year?
Sophomore year.
Yeah.
We'll see. Like Braden said, I have to make it out of regionals first. So, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'd say Braden's probably the betting favorite again, but I mean, there's all of us on here and probably three or four other guys across the state. If we all get there, could all have a chance come final day. So I think Braden has probably the best odds, but you know what? And I think anybody could.
2 days of golf, anything can happen.
Right.
There's a lot of great players in the state. I mean, obviously Jake, obviously, you know, Mac, you have
Will Harvey.
All those guys you voted for All-State, any of them could come through. It just takes two solid rounds on two given days, and you never know what can happen. So it's always exciting for the state championships, and Indiana puts on a great one for sure. Now, one of my last questions, and then we're going to end the episode. What are some of the changes you guys would like to see changed? Things that could happen. Obviously, you guys aren't the ones making those decisions, but I think the players should be able to get some of their voices in the coaches here so they could go to the IHSAA and look at some of those changes down the road. I mean, it may not help you this year, but it could help in the future.
So one thing I'd like to see change is, so we're not that great of a team, so we don't get into the state preview and we don't get into the Hall of Fame at Rock Hollow. So I think they should honestly just make an exemption for like the individual players on those teams, because I mean, I'm missing out on the two best regular season events of the year. Am I wrong? So I mean, like, I'm missing the Hall of Fame and I'm missing the state preview. And as the defending state champion, I feel like I should be able to play Prairie View. I mean, in the state preview, that's my opinion. And even if we don't go as a team, I think some individuals should be accepted into those tournaments.
Like almost give up a team spot and put five individuals in that place.
Right. Yeah. Five of the best individuals in the state should go to the Hall of Fame in the state preview and then take out one of the teams that finished dead last.
For me, it's definitely just sectionals, regionals. There's a bunch of good teams, good players like Braden and Silas said that just are in a rough spot because so many good scores come in for teams and individuals that you don't see 100% of the talent and 100% of the great teams in there. And it's just unfortunate for those guys each and every year.
I'd say, honestly, being able to start earlier, you know, because like I'd say, you know, puts a really strict down on like not being able to start till, you know, next week or whatever the week is after. But I feel like we should be able to start it like, I mean, I don't see a problem. Like, I meet him in college. Like, I see, like, football teams starting. They're starting now. You know, they're getting ready for the season in the fall. I feel like we should be able to, like, I know what Carmel does. I know Carmel has, like, a club golf team. But, like, at least get, like, the last year's team or, like, a group of guys and be able to, like, have somewhat of a team practice or, like, just have a concept of, like, being able to start the season in, this like, the fall instead of having to wait till, like, second week of March and then 2 weeks later than our season starts. I feel like it's just all crammed into like 3 months. I feel like we should be able to spread it out a little bit and be able to, you know, kind of prepare for the season.
Well, I will say to that, Mattingly, Chard, when did he just start the club team in the past year?
Yeah, it was, I think this is the first year of it actually, but yeah, we just started it.
I should say Coach Reed, not Chard, so I may change that in there. But Mattingly, also Westfield has a club team as well. And they do it for boys and girls. So I think you and I could tell your assistant coach and I could tell our varsity coach, obviously it's the same person. I think that's a direction we should go, like at a school like ours. And I think most schools should look at doing that. It's not difficult. all the basketball teams have a club team. I mean, that's how they practice together all year long. So I don't think it'd be difficult. And I think there's some coaches that would be more than willing to show the schools how you can do that so your teams can practice together, get together, and work out together and do all that throughout the year.
Yeah, I will add on to that. Westfield and us, we played like a Ryder Cup kind of thing against each other. So you can do like club competition against a bunch of the clubs that happen like around Hamilton County. So it was a good time. We had 3 or 4 different days with a bunch of different guys, probably 30 guys on our team or on our club and however many on theirs. And we just rotated players in and out for each and every day and played 3 or 4 different courses and had a cup trophy at the end. It was a good time, good competition.
To add to Mattingly, so I think state runs almost a week later this year than what it did last year. And that, like, a lot of us are missing out on, I mean, the Western Junior Am, that's right over state. And a lot of us are going to miss out on that great tournament because state's running a week later. So I feel like we could start a little earlier and end a little sooner than June 15th, because I think this year runs to like what, June 20th? I think state's 19th and 20th or 18th, 19th, something like that. It's nearly a week later than what it was last year.
Yeah.
And I'm going to miss out on a pretty good event.
There's a lot of the qualifiers for boys state as well that run the week of state. And I know a couple of coaches reached out to the state, kind of like the State Golf Foundation, obviously, to what are we doing? We need to add a couple more. And I know they made some changes. But think of all the kids that don't have an exemption into boys state, that their qualifier could be that week of. And some of those coaches may be like, no, you're not playing in that. We got to prepare for the state championship. So I think there's some better communication that needs to happen. I think you're right, Braden. What else? Go ahead, Braden.
I think the state finals also needs to have a rankings, like just like every other 2-day tournament has in the summer. I mean, just the state finals, though. I mean, if you make the state finals, I think you should be able to have some sort of rankings added to your resume.
Well, here's the great thing. I'm working on that for the system that the coaches are starting to look at. The girls' state's actually in Tugger right now, and we're working with Tugger to get the boys in there. So that's something we're working on. I know JGS is turning their nose up against it. They just seem to think that if there's a coach involved, no, you shouldn't count that score. Tugger looks at it going, we'll take any tournament we can to get added to the rankings, because all that additional data can only help a coach look at a player to understand how they perform and how they play, especially at a 2-day event like Boys State, because most of you only play at 2-day events at this point. And why not count state? Why not count some of those big events? As the Tugger guy said, JGS does not count the USGA junior qualifier, but they do. And why is a 1-day event not important like USGA junior qualifier versus a 2-day age group championship that they may play at a short yardage when you're 13? So that's kind of some of the conversations there. So they're going to start adding any and all invitationals and state tournaments as long as they can get the data. They will not count PDFs, but they will count any live scoring from the Indiana websites that we can provide them. I or somebody just needs to be able to provide them the hometown. Great example, Peyton. What town do you live in, Peyton?
Fort Branch.
So he lives in Fort Branch. So when it goes to connect Peyton's score, it looks for Fort Branch. If it says Gibson Southern, it's going to pass him over. So they have to give that additional information to say Peyton goes to Gibson Southern, like Mattingly goes to Hamilton Southeastern. Ethan, it'll automatically upload because he lives in Carmel. So it's going to connect Carmel with all that. So there's some things there that they're working on that if they have that data, they will do it. Kentucky actually got all theirs taken care of last year. And I know Texas and I know North Carolina have worked with Tugger on getting all that information so they can get all their state information in there. So that's something that's something I can do if I can get the connections. I'll do it. I mean, I sit in a parking lot sometimes waiting for the kid to get out of her workouts or somewhere else, you know, or if she's at a practice or something, you know, until they can drive, the parent's sitting there waiting. That's just how it goes. I mean, you've all been there. So there's that.
Yeah, I would agree with all the stuff that's been said so far. Rankings would be nice. Ending sooner would also be nice, like Braden Mattingly said. And also, like you guys said, I know Braden's talked about this, but just having more spots available for individuals. I think there should be at least three teams that get out. I don't think you can get rid. I don't think you can have only two teams come out. That's not fair for like the indie schools. But when there's some players that basically dedicate their whole lives to golf and shoot under par and can't get out, I know they added an extra spot since Alex Holder didn't get out. They now have three spots. I think it should go up to four or five spots. I think that'd be the best like view of the competition around the state. I have some friends who are like insane at cross country. One almost qualified for state, another got second at state this year, and Noah Bontrager got second at state, and he got 16 at nationals. So I was kind of asking them how like cross country works to qualify, because they also are not classed. Like me and Brandon go to smaller schools.
I want to see you all run cross country.
Yeah, but I was asking them, they have five regionals, five teams get out of each regional, and 15 individuals that are not on the teams get out. So that is 57 additional individuals than what we have, and seven more teams. So they have about double as many people. I just thought that was interesting, especially that we get three individuals, they get 15. So I think we could bump up at least three or four for every regional. I know it's not that hard to have three or four more tee times. I know there's enough time in the day to make that happen.
So. Do you have a cut after day one?
I don't know. I haven't thought that far, but I would doubt it. I think everyone should have the two-day experience, but I think that's something that would be good. I think
BYU, for all people golf. Trent, DY at our school, our head coach, he used to say that when they had state finals at Legends, down at Franklin, they said they had a cut then. So he said they used to have a cut. So they said they moved away from that.
A lot of changes throughout the years, and I think if you go back 3 years ago, 4 years ago, they had the five regionals, and three teams got through, then five players got through.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yep. Then there's some coaches that shall not be named, Braden, that came in and said, we want to make some changes. And then we went to six regionals, and then that first year,
two
individuals. Now, and I think that's the battle they have, is how do we do this? How do we get as many individuals in and get as many teams in? Because the coaches will come back and tell you it's a team sport. But whose picture goes on the pamphlet for the magazine at state?
Individual state champion.
Point proven, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I don't know anything. I'm just a guy that started the podcast to get to you guys more recognition, because I am a believer that this sport should get more recognition, that it should get more awareness out there.
I'm a believer that all of you guys deserve the recognition, that your school should do more for you when you succeed and announce it, and make sure that the sport of golf is always promoted at the schools. It's the only way to grow the game. Yeah.
So last question before we end the show, why do you guys love golf and why do you love playing high school?
I'd say just, I love playing golf. It's just so fun. I find an enjoyment of just playing good golf. So when I play good golf, it's hard to beat the feeling of, playing 18 holes and not making a bogey. You really feel good about yourself after a round, posting a bogey for your round or going low. And then, high school golf is just so much fun. It's memories that you just can't get back, especially I know most of us are going to play college golf, but it's just not going to be as the same. I mean, it's obviously going to be fun, but it's just not going to be the same as high school golf. High school golf is just a different level of just laid back, but also really still competitive and just really fun with all your.
Yeah, I mean, I like playing golf because, I've always just had that competitive drive to me. And I love winning. Who doesn't like winning? hate when you lose, but you love when you win. And I like comparing myself to the best players in the state and even the country. So, I mean, it's just, it's always been very enjoyable for me. High school is just, I mean, who wouldn't want to play high school? Yeah, I mean, I've had all the guys on my team I've been friends with since sixth, seventh grade, and I've played middle school golf with them, and I've grown up with them, and they're still my best friends to this day. So, I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't want to do that.
Silas, yeah, what made you come back? Sorry, Peyton. I said, what made you come back? I'll get to you in a second, Peyton. I'm sorry.
Definitely like a few different factors, but the big thing between high school and college golf is high school, you're playing for your community. I mean, that's where you grew up for 18 years and kind of representing that, kind of how, who you are as a person, but also is how you play. And I think it's pretty cool to represent that as like a state level. I mean, no one really knows probably what Shipshawana, Indiana is, but to have the name Westview like on your shirt, I think it's a pretty cool, it's a pretty special thing, I guess. Yeah.
There's some good food up in Shipshawana, Silas. So.
Most of the population are Amish. most of them drive horse and buggies, so.
Yeah, the food is great.
Yeah, for me, I just, golf's something I grew up playing with my parents, and, you know, I still play with them to this day, and people that my dad coached with, and older people that have known my parents for a while, we still play in the summer all the time. And, you know, I play high school golf because I want to show, like, for our school, golf's not a super popular sport, but I want to show that, you know, golf is 100% a sport that should be considered our school, because our school is full of a lot of football players, but, you know, we do the best we can as the golf team. And I just like playing for the name Gibson Southern on my chest. And, you know, it's playing for this community is what it's about. And they show a lot of support for me and my teammates when it's our season comes around, and that's all I can ask for.
Yeah. For me, it's just being out there, competitiveness by yourself. And then just high school season, you can't beat it. Just being around the guys, so many memories that you just can't get back, and you'll remember forever. And that's one thing I'm very, very grateful for. And I'm glad I hopped into the sport.
I think for me, guys, it was always not just my teammates, all the other guys that you meet throughout the years of playing high school golf or tournament golf. There's so many different people that you meet that you end up seeing in college, or like me one day, it was seeing when Bo Van Pelt was playing on the tour series. It used to be the Nationwide series before whatever it is now. Is it web.com or whatever they call it today? Bo was playing the Nationwide, and he was playing in Chicago, and just going to watch him play and him looking at over me like four or five times, realizing he had played with me several other times growing up. Those are the memories too that you have, is you meet some great guys along the way and people, and then all the friends that you come back and see in high school, it's generally your closest buddies, and it's generally the guys you play a sports team with. And that's kind of, I think, high school golf is. And that was my memory. Guys, I want to thank you for your time. I don't think anyone's ever done a show like this to get ready for the high school season, and it's something I want to continue doing. So Mattingly, I think, is the baby of the group here, so he'll probably be back next year with me. And I know four of you are going to play on, and I know someone is probably contemplating back and forth between going to Purdue or playing in school. Ethan, any updates on where you're headed to right now, yeah, or leaning towards?
No, not yet. I mean, I'm still in between, but it's a tough decision that I'm going to have to make in probably the next coming month.
Any which way you're leaning right now?
I want to try and play. That's my goal, but we'll see. I'm leaning towards trying to play, but at the same time, it's just there's so much there in front of me that, I don't know, it's going to be a big decision.
Now, I'm going to ask, any schools that you're talking to? You don't have to answer me. You can say a couple, or you can say who they are.
Yeah, I've got a couple, yeah. But main one right now is
nice,
but yeah,
mom kind of pushing you.
Yeah, a little bit to make the decision. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure they want to know. It's March, right? They want to be able to order all the stuff for the high school graduation party. So, anyways, guys, thanks for your time, and I had a blast. So, thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of From the Card Path with your host, Trent Roberts. Please be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so that you never miss an episode.